The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now notice the preparation of Judas' heart here. He's not ready yet to execute the plan. He's not ready yet to actually do it. But here you have in John 13, verse 2, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas. There's a preparation of heart. And Judas entertains these thoughts.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we're looking forward to sharing the gospel with you today. And I trust that that little clip of our main message will stir your heart to stay with us here as we let the Bible speak in word and song today. Matthew 15 is our Bible reading today, and we're going to begin here at verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honour not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my Father, Heavenly Father, hath not planted, shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Now the key text here has to be verse 18. Those things which proceed out of the mouth and come forth from the heart, they defile the man. The Lord Jesus was criticized for eating with unwashing hands. This was not a command from the 39 books of the Old Testament, but it was an oral tradition which was found later in the Talmud. It was a tradition of men. The scribes and Pharisees perverted the truth by putting more emphasis on this oral tradition of men than on the Ten Commandments given by God to Moses. The Lord pointed out that they were more particular about eating with washing hands than honoring parents, which was a clear command, indeed the fifth commandment. Then the Lord went on to appeal to reason. Does it not make sense that the thing that defiles a man is not the dirt on his hands, but the filth of his heart? It is not what goes into a man which defiles him, but it is what comes out of his heart that is already corrupt. The Lord lists a whole list of sins which come directly from the heart of man. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. All of that stands to good sense. To digest even germ-laden dirt on your hands will not make a good person a bad person. It is all a matter of the heart. The problem is that by nature all men have defiled hearts. They are polluted and corrupt by sin, and not until the fountain of his heart is changed will he be able to live aright. The gospel message is that the Lord gives his people new hearts. He takes away the old heart of sin and gives a new heart of righteousness. He changes the desires from seeking evil to desiring good. That is the new birth experience, and that is why Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The bottom line from all of this is that you need a new heart. All the washing in the world will not change your soul or your spiritual state. You must be changed from the inside out. And surely this makes sense. How can you change a man's spiritual state? How can you change a man's spiritual nature with washing his hands with water? The need is to have your heart changed, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to give men a new heart. You need to be born from above, born of the Spirit. And of course, that is the miracle of God's gift on God's grace to sinners. And I trust that today that you will yield and call upon the Lord to change your heart, to give you a new heart, that you might be wonderfully saved. May the Lord in grace minister to your heart today through his word. Let's unite in prayer and ask him to give us hearts that are clean by the work of the Spirit. Father in heaven, we thank thee today for the light of thy word and for this clear instruction that men's hearts are not changed by what they eat or don't eat. Men's lives are not changed by the washing of water of the body, but rather we are changed by the miracle of receiving a new heart. We confess that hearts are sinful by nature. It is that corruption that is already within that causes the defilement to come from the mouth and the very thoughts of the heart, which are evil, to manifest themselves into desires of murder and adultery and these wicked sins. Oh God, the problem lies not in society, not in the lack of money, not in the lack of benefits and opportunities. The lack is in the sinfulness of man's heart. But oh Lord, we thank thee that the gospel is the power of God to change the hearts of men. And I pray that thou will be pleased to turn the hearts of men to thyself, to turn the hearts of men from the ways of this world to the ways of thy grace and thy goodness. And so I plead with thee for mercy today. I plead with thee for thy help and favor. And I pray for the Spirit of God to be in me. Today, so much that thy people be blessed through thy word. His we ask power these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
His hand to lead. Oh, tell me more of him, my love, until I see his face above. Oh, tell me more of Christ my Savior. on this glad theme dwell o'er and o'er. His boundless grace, His saving favor, His precious name, oh, tell me more. Oh, tell me more. So much I need, His power to keep, His hand to lead. Oh, tell me more. His face above. Oh, tell me more, and I repeat it.
Now, having looked at these steps of Judas, let's have a look now at the statements of Judas. Judas made some very big statements. He said in Matthew 27, and verse 4, I have sinned. This is now when he goes back to those chief priests and elders. He tries to undo this betrayal. And he says to them, I have sinned. That's his own confession. Now, that is a whole lot more than many men are willing to admit to today. That's a whole lot more than the average person around Cloverdale would admit to. If you could knock door and talk to people about the state of their hearts, you would talk a long while before they would admit and say, yes, I have sinned. But here is Judas, and he makes that confession. And he recognizes that he has done the wrong thing. And you'll notice in verse 3, he uses the word repented. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Now, I checked up this word repented, and it is not that godly repentance where you turn away from something totally, but it is to be troubled, to be concerned. And obviously, Judas had a troubled heart. He was most concerned about his wrongdoing. And we learn from this, a person could be concerned about their sin. They could be troubled about their wrongdoing and still have a heart like Judas, not be saved. In verse 4, you'll also notice the statement that Judas made concerning Christ. I have betrayed the innocent blood. That's a big statement. He is the one that has betrayed the Lord Jesus into the hands of these wretched murderers to take the life that is innocent. And this is Judas' final witness of the Lord. The Lord Jesus is pure. He is sinless. He is undefiled. And that's the testimony of a would-be traitor. One who would sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. The witness of a traitor is a very powerful witness. The witness of a friend. When you talk about your friend or your relative, well, they will say, well, he'll just cover up. He's a friend. He'll just say the right thing anyway. But here's Judas. He's a traitor. And he's so troubled in his heart. And he so knows the truth that he knows the Lord Jesus is innocent. Now, if you have someone, say you have a Russian refugee who arrives in Canada, and he's a right-hand man working with President Putin in Russia, and he is a high political office, and he knows the plans and the private conversations of the highest ranking man in Russia. And he's investigated by Canadian authorities, and they say, well, what do you think of President Putin? And if he's a refugee on safe ground, having turned his back on Russia and come here seeking asylum, his testimony is going to be very, very meaningful. And if he says that President Putin is a man that you can depend on straight up and down, that's a far better testimony than if the ambassador from Russia is spoken to. And he says President Putin's a nice man or a good man. The official ambassador's word, well, he's paid to say the right things. But the one coming seeking asylum, he is jumping ship. He's turning his back on that nation. He's turning his back on that system. But he still has to say that President Putin is a man to be believed. That's a powerful witness. And here is Judas, the one who has been privy to the personal life of the Lord Jesus for all these years, has heard his teachings, both public and private. He sat in the little group situations with the other disciples, hearing the very nuances of what the Lord thought of this and thought of that, and all that he said and did. And here is Judas' testimony. Innocent. The Lord Jesus is the innocent, genuine, true Son of God. And all that he claimed to be is true. He's innocent. I have betrayed the innocent blood. And so this statement brings Judas to a troubled state of heart and makes him to realize that he has betrayed the one who is genuine. Now, you can believe the biblical record. You can believe that Jesus is genuine, because even from the lips of his traitor, he is innocent. You can take that to heart today. Now, the last thing we should look at here today is the sorrows of Judas. The sorrows of this man who betrayed the Lord Jesus. We have noted here the trouble of his heart, his going back to his masters who are giving him these 30 pieces of silver, and he's offering the money back. He is in such a state of turmoil. Now, in John 13 and the verse 2, if you turn over there, John 13, verse 2. You'll notice the state of pretense and the sorrows of pretense that filled Judas' heart. John 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now notice the preparation of Judas' heart here. He's not ready yet to execute the plan. He's not ready yet to actually do it. But here you have in John 13, verse 2, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas. There's a preparation of heart. And Judas entertains these thoughts. You see, before there can be a deed, there has to be the thought. Before there can be the execution of the evil work, there must be the desire. And here in Judas' heart is the entertainment of a wicked thought to betray the Lord Jesus. Now you'll notice that this was the hour the Lord was to be betrayed. Chapter 13, 1 of John. Now when the feast, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. This was now the final feast of the Passover. And you'll see these things coming together. Judas sitting in the midst, Satan feeding his mind, and his mind is filled with all of these ideas. And what does he do? He allows them to fester, he allows them to go to work. And Satan was at work in Judas' heart. And this pretense was kept up right through this Last Supper. What a miserable man he must have been right at that very moment. And then in verse 27, in chapter 13 of John, verse 27, after the sop, Satan entered into him. I want you to notice the development of things, the thought planted in his mind. And then Satan, by his spirit, coming into him. In verse 27, and then the Lord Jesus saying to Judas, what thou doest, that thou doest, do quickly. So here's all the pretense. And the Lord Jesus knew what he was about. The other disciples were oblivious. But there is the pretense. And then, of course, there is the sorrow of discovery. You'll notice that when he was discovered, verse 30, he having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. There's darkness. And it could be said that that's when hell began for Judas. That's when his darkness of misery began. He was cut off from God. And when a man is cut off from God, it's darkness. And he went out, and it was night. This is the horror of the discovery of his sin. And of course, the Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. And Judas went through all of this misery. Now, the sorrow of no repentance, no reparation. He went to the scribes, went to these religious leaders. He says, look, I have betrayed the innocent blood. Take the money back. I want to be free from this. And they would not. And that money ended up buying a plot of ground because they would not receive the price of blood. The curse of God was already upon it. And so there was the sorrow of no repentance, no reparation, no way back. And sin is like that. Sin has a no return policy. There's no way back. And here is Judas going through all of these sorrows. In Matthew 27 and verse 5, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. What a lonely, miserable, wretched end to his life. Who can imagine the brokenness of his mind, the horrors of this tragedy? He could not live with it. And he tried to die to escape from it. If someone had said, Judas, what are you doing? He would have said, I'm ending it all. I've made a mess of all my life. I'm the worst wretch ever born. I will take it to the grave. But we know from Matthew 26 and 24 that he took it beyond the grave. And we're told there, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And so Judas, a man of sorrows, and that's his state now, burning, enduring the miseries of hell. And he went to his own place. That's what Acts 1 tells us. He went to his own place. Judas was the man under the curse and brought the curse of God upon himself. And the one big lesson of Judas' life is that there's no salvation in imitating. Judas was a good imitator, but he's lost. He's lost for all eternity. And you need to make sure today that you don't make the mistake that Judas made. You need to make sure that you're depending not on following in the steps of the Lord Jesus as your way of salvation, but depending on his blood and depending on his cross, and that you are born of his Spirit. That's the important thing. And so I set before you this man, Judas, a wretched, horrible example of one who played the fool with his own soul, betraying his Lord. What a despicable character he is. And I trust today that your heart is given over to faith in the Lord Jesus and to a complete trust in him. I pray that God will give us the grace to persevere, trusting, looking unto Jesus, believing in him with all our heart.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.